Amen. I hope that you can sing along with that song, "I'm Glad I Am Free." A great truth in that song. Again, thank you so much for joining us tonight for our live stream. We're continuing our series on being a problem solver. And we're going to look at tonight the problem of our self-esteem and what the Bible says, our self-image, and what the Bible has to say about how we should see ourselves in light of a biblical perception. So we're in Genesis chapter 1 tonight, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 27. And let's notice what the Bible has to say here. The Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." The Bible says that God created man, God created humanity, you and I, in his own image. And so we're going to look at self-image, what the Bible has to say, what the world says, and how we can have a proper perspective and be problem solvers and solve this problem because we want to know what God has to say. Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight as we look at your word, and I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide our thoughts, and I pray that you would use this message to correct any wrong perception that we have as we look at ourselves in this world. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. Give us guidance. Give us wisdom, I pray. Hide me behind the cross and give me the words to say. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your strength and energy, Lord, to preach your word. And so, Lord, I pray as we look to you in this time that you would give us what we need. You are our shepherd. You lead us and feed us and guide us. And so, Lord, we look to you to help us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are living in a society of mirror madness. Mirror madness. This is how we see ourselves. When we look into a mirror, what do we see? When we look into a mirror, what do we say? When we walk around in our world, what do we think? You see, our world gives to us a distorted view of humanity, or the world gives to us a distorted mirror. And the world is trying to destroy our self-image. Now, when we were, my family and I, we were at a fair, and, you know, I think we were in New York State. We were visiting New York State on vacation, and right beside, I believe we had a cabin or a cottage that we had rented, and right beside that area we were camping or cottaging, there was a fair that they had. And so we were walking through the fair, looking at the different animals and displays, and they had one of those giant mirrors. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but you kind of look in that mirror, and it distorts the view of yourself. Either makes your head really small and your body really big, or vice versa. And it just gives you a funny perception. And I remember our family, we walked by that several times. The kids had a great time looking at that. And you know, we spent a lot of time in front of those mirrors. Well, those distorted mirrors really kind of display how the world wants us to see ourselves. There's the appearance mirror that the world would push toward us. And they would say that your value depends upon how you look. There's the performance mirror. They would say that your value depends on what you do. And then there's the status mirror. And the status mirror would say that our value depends on what others think of me or my status or my position. And until we look at the Bible and we see ourselves as God sees us, we are destined to feel inferior. And so tonight, I don't think this is going to be a long message tonight, but I want to just give you some biblical principles. Three keys, I call it three keys to a biblical self image. We don't want to think too highly of ourselves, and we don't want to think too low of ourselves. We want to think soberly. We want to see what God has to say. You know, we want to make sure that we see ourselves as God sees ourselves, and we want to properly have this perception found in the Bible. So I'm going to give you just quickly three keys to having a proper self-image. Number one, get God's view of you. Number one, get God's view of you. And I call this knowledge tonight. Get God's view of you. Get a proper knowledge of what the Bible has to say, how God sees us. Number one, realize this, we are created in God's image. We are created in God's image. As I read the text already, Genesis 1:27, so God created man, humanity, in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God created us in his image. And we are created as a triune individual. We have a body, that is our physical body, which lives in a physical world. And oftentimes, it's what we spend most of our time on because we are in a physical world and it's what we see and it's what attention is placed on in our world. We have a body. We have a soul. This is our personality. This speaks of our heart. This speaks of the real you and the real me. And then there's our spirit, and our spirit is what communes with God. When when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Your spirit must be born again because we are spiritually dead because of sin by nature, and we need to be resurrected in Jesus Christ. And he says, well, what must I do? Do I have to enter into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, no, Nicodemus, that which is of the flesh is flesh. He's separating the temporal from the eternal. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the spirit is spirit. For a man to be born again, he must be first born of water. That's a physical birth. And then born of the spirit. That's an eternal birth. That's a being spiritually born, born again to have eternal life. And so we are created in the image of God. And therefore, we are a triune individual. I mentioned before that most of the time, we spend our attention on the physical, on the temporal. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, which I believe is our first priority, oftentimes is our last priority as we consider, you know, our spiritual life or our spiritual well-being. We're always focused on the physical, but what about our spiritual life? What about our spiritual health? He says here, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and your body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 139, the Bible says this, I will pray thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God created you. He didn't make any mistakes. You are fearfully and you are wonderfully made in the sight of God. And so we are created in the image of God. Remember, we're trying to get a biblical perception here of our self-image as we think of the distorted mirrors in our world today, the appearance mirror, the performance mirror, the status mirror. We just want a godly view. And this is knowledge, to know what God has to say. How does God look at us? First of all, we are created in the image of God. The Bible says we are the apple of the eye of God. We are special to God. We are the only part of God's creation that is created in his very own image. Number two, we are seen by God. We are seen by God. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Now when they looked at David's brothers, they thought, truly this one of these brothers, that's the king, the next king of Israel. Because they look kingly. They look like they could be the next king. Now they look good outwardly, but their heart wasn't right with God. And God says in this scripture here, God says, look, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. How does our world see us? Well, our world sees us as just a statistic for advertising. I don't know if you heard Facebook, if you're a Facebook user, if you're watching this on Facebook, I would imagine you're a Facebook user. They, on their app, their application for iPhones and Androids, they have enabled by default, without, of course, without telling anybody, they enabled a setting where basically it tracks everything you do on your iPhone or your Android device. And they want to know what other apps you're using and what web pages you're surfing. And the reason why they want to know all of that information is because they want to market to you. They want to know what your interests are. They want to know what your pastimes are, because they want to send on their Facebook feed, on your Facebook feed, they want to send you advertisements. And, you know, you're scrolling through your timeline on Facebook and you see advertisements and you're wondering, how in the world do they know? How do they know I like canoeing? How do they know I like trucks? How do they know I like mountain climbing? How do they know I'm interested in purchasing a computer? It's because they're spying on you. And they're looking at all of your interests, because to them, Facebook, to them, you're just a statistic. You're just an individual that they can market to and that they can sell the next iPhone to or the next computer to or the next big thing to do, big thing to you. They're not concerned about who you really are. They just want to make another dollar. In fact, I couldn't find the statistics for Canada, but financial service companies, they released some information about marketing. And in the United States alone, they spent last year about $17 billion on marketing. In the United States, that's about $54 a person per year they spend on trying to get you to purchase a product. So listen, how the world sees you is just a statistic for a marketing platform to sell the next big thing to. But that is not how God sees you. God sees your heart. God knows exactly who you are, and God knows your hurts, and God knows your fears, and God knows everything about you. God knows your potential. God sees your opportunity. God sees the real you. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, whose adorning, let it be not the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair and the wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. That's attention given to the physical, to the appearance. Because that's what our world, you know, is pushing. That mirror of appearance, that you're not important or you don't have value unless you look a particular way. But that's not what God says. God says, no, your focus ought not to be on the physical, on your appearance or what people can see, but your attention ought to be on the hidden man of the heart. That hidden man of the heart is eternal and is not corruptible, the Bible says. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So you are seen by God. God knows everything about you. And God knows your heart, and that's a wonderful blessing. We're talking about self-esteem here tonight and what the Bible has to say about God's view of you. Number three, God loves you. You are loved by God. You are loved by God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, The Lord hath appeared. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. I love you with an everlasting love. You are loved by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Listen, friend, when you were unsaved, the Bible says you were the enemy of God. Romans chapter 5, you can read about it. You were the enemy of God. And the Bible says that even when you were God's enemy, even when you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Christ died for us. He died for me and you. This is God's love. It's a great love. It's an everlasting love. And now that you are a part of God's family, there is nothing that you could ever do that would cause God to love you any less. Because at your worst, God loved you. That's what the Bible says. And now you're a part of the family of God. And Jude, verse 21, there's only one chapter, so verse 21, the Bible makes an interesting statement. It says in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. And what the Bible is saying there is to constantly remind yourself of God's love and God's sacrifice for you. That God loves you and God died for you. Keep yourself in that love. Remind yourself of God's love for you. Remember that he gave heaven's best so that you could have eternal life. Romans chapter 8 verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The love of God. Listen, how does God see you? God loves you. He died for you. Number four, we are redeemed by God. We are redeemed by God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought, ye are redeemed. That's what the word redeem means. To be bought, to be purchased. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Glorify God in your body, that's the temporal, and also in your spirit, that is the eternal. Bring glory to God, not only in the eternal, in the spiritual life, but also in this world, in the temporal life. Bring glory to God, for ye are owned by God. There's an old English word in the Bible, in 1 Peter, it talks about that we are a peculiar people. And the word peculiar, that old English word, means that we are an own people. We belong to God because he has redeemed us. We are redeemed by God. How does God see us? We are redeemed. How does God look at us? We are secured by God. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God's seal upon your life is the Holy Spirit. If ye have not the Spirit, ye are not one of his. We have the Holy Spirit that indwells us, and that is God's seal, that you are his child. Ye are secured by God. Ye are ordained by God. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, ordained to serve the Lord and for God to work through us to fulfill his will in our life. We are ordained by God. So we looked at in this scripture here, we looked at number one, that we need to get God's view for our life. We need to get God's view of you. That's knowledge. And I've given you some verses of how God sees you. So now you have the knowledge of what the Bible says of how God looks at you. But number two, I want you to write this down. We need to believe God's view is true. And this is called faith. This is called faith. You know, we talk about the armor of God, and one of the most important pieces of armor for any soldier, for any knight, is that shield. And that shield is going to protect them from any oncoming attacks, the fiery darts of Satan, the Bible says. And when the Bible throws those fiery darts of doubt to us, the very first thing he's going to try to get us to do is to question the Word of God or to doubt the Word of God. And we need to believe by faith what God has said. This is how God sees me. Faith is built upon the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we increase our faith? We read the Word of God. The Bible is like planting seeds. As we plant those seeds, it begins to sprout and to grow faith in our life. And so as we believe what God has said by faith, this gives us the proper perspective of how God sees us. Now, as this faith grows, as we believe what the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, this faith grows through a mind renewal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, because the world is constantly telling us, this is who we are. This is what it's all about. They'll constantly say, you know what, life is just an accident. You can live your life and do whatever you want. There's no consequences. God says, no, wait a minute. You reap what you sow. And so as we, by faith, believe the Bible, we are renewing our mind. We're getting a proper view of ourselves. We're following the Scripture. The Bible says, renewing your mind and proving what is that good and acceptable and that perfect will of God. And as we, by faith, believe the Word of God, as by faith we trust what the Bible says, we begin to renew our mind and change our opinion and our perception of ourselves. And what do? We remove those distorted mirrors that the world is constantly telling us. Our world would make it look like they care about us. They don't care about us. The devil doesn't care about us. The world cares about making another dollar. The company cares about making another dollar. And you can see how the world and companies are so persuaded by popular opinion, because to them, it's all about margins. It's all about money. They want to make sure that their margins are correct. They want to make sure that they're following the flow of society, because all that is important to them is selling that next device or selling that next cosmetic product. And they want you to follow their mold. And so by faith, we trust the Word of God. By faith, we grow through the renewing of our mind, and we remove those distorted mirrors, and we see it's kind of like a storm. I don't know if you've ever seen this. There's a great storm, and all of a sudden, those clouds begin to separate, and the sun begins to come through. It's a wonderful picture as that sun begins to peek through, and it kind of flickers, and all of a sudden it breaks through those clouds, and it's like that renewing of our mind where we say, wait a minute, my value is not based upon how I look. My value is not based upon my position or my job or my money. My value is not based upon, it's not based upon any of those things. My value is based upon the fact that I am created in the image of God, and that He loves me, and that He saved me, and I'm a part of His family. And it's like that sun is kind of breaking through the clouds as you see yourself from the perception of God Himself. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, or the illustration there is a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We want to see ourselves from the mirror of God. Not from the mirror of this world. Not from how the world wants us to see ourselves or how the world wants us to judge our self-image. We want our judge image, we want our self-image to come from how God sees us. And that's how we want to claim that truth for our life. So then thirdly, would you write it down? We need to discover the you that's true. I call this experience. Discover the you that's true. Everything that we do in our life must come from the perception of how God sees us. And if any time in our life we feel useless, if any time in our life we seem unusable, any time in our life we think to be unreplaceable, then we have a wrong or a distorted self-image. The Bible says, listen, we need to discover the true us, and we need to live within the will of God for our life. We need to use our God-given abilities. The Bible says in Exodus 31, verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. I think of the life of Moses for just a moment. When God approached Moses, God said, Moses, I want to use you. And the very first thing we see, we find a distorted self-image. The very first thing he said was, I can't do it, God. I'm never going to be able to get in front of people. I'm never going to be able to speak. And God says, Moses, who made your mouth? Don't you understand that I have given you the ability? Don't you understand that if you have a handicap, it's because I've allowed it to happen in your life? And you need to trust in me. You need to know who you are in me and know that I can help you and I can help you to overcome that. And so we need to use our God-given abilities for the Lord. We need to exercise our spiritual gifts. All of us have spiritual gifts. There's not a person that's listening to this podcast and live stream and sermon on the internet, whatever the case is. There's not a person that does not, as a Christian, that does not have a spiritual gift. God has given to you spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts, they differ from Christian to Christian, but they are the same in the Lord. In other words, there's no one better than another in the Christian life or within the local church. Just because I'm preaching from behind the pulpit does not make me better than anyone else, or the deacons are not better than the Sunday school teachers. Listen, that's silliness. That's false. The reality is that we all have different abilities and we all have different spiritual gifts, and yet we all come together as the body of Christ to serve the Lord in unity. And to think that you're not as good or you're not better or you're lower or higher than someone else is just a distorted self-image of who you are in Jesus Christ and your responsibility within the local church. And then thirdly, and I'll be done here tonight, we need to learn from our past. We need to learn from our past. Don't live in your past. You need to learn from your past. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, the context of that passage of Scripture is that God brings events in your life, circumstances in your life, and he'll comfort you in those tribulation or in those burdens or in those problems that ye may be able to comfort them that are in any trouble. God allows you to go through circumstances so that you can come up along someone else and help them along. And so we learn from our past. We don't live in our past. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I don't live in my past. I don't live my life looking back. I look forward. But we still learn from the past. And we make mistakes. We learn from those mistakes and we press forward. We go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. And so our self-image, it's a problem. It's a problem in a world that is constantly telling us who we are. This is who you really are. And yet the Bible tells us who we are in Christ. And it's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful blessing to be a part of the family of God. Remember, Jesus has overcome the world. Amen. And because we are in Christ, we are also overcomers. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Lord, we are constantly under pressure, Lord, to conform to the image of this world. But help us, Lord, help us by your strength and your power to be renewed, Lord, from your word. And help us to see ourselves how you see us each and every day. Give us victory, Lord. We need it. We need your help in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.